Friends, by now you must have got a complete idea about what theory of constraints is, what is throughput, what is operating expenses, and what all other measurements parameters. You must have got the complete idea about all that. Now let us make a beginning to the chapter number 4, which is application of theory of constraints to operations manufacturing, and the next chapters are also applications to marketing, to sales, to projects. So one by one we will see how that beautiful theory of constraints is applied to operations, manufacturing, and other sections. To understand how to use TOC, that means theory of constraints, to improve operations and manufacturing, I will make an introduction to you for synchronized manufacturing. What is synchronized manufacturing? Systematic way that attempts to move material quickly and smoothly through various resources, through various operations, quickly and smoothly, as quickly as possible, as smoothly as possible, to maintain the flow. Systematic way that attempts to move material quickly and smoothly through various resources. Material flows like brooks into streams, streams into rivers, on and on, without any disruption. Smooth flow, like streams are moving into rivers, on and on, without any interruption. Achievement of synchronized manufacturing is attained by finding a way to reduce WIP, work in progress, without harming throughput. Throughput is our most important thing. We must not harm the throughput, but we must reduce WIP, keep minimum WIP, without harming throughput, without increasing operating expenses. This is the objective. Synchronized manufacturing to be attained by reducing WIP without harming throughput. Underline. What are the basic rules of operations? I was in operations for more than 20 years. And what rules I have followed so that I got my targeted production, so that I could fulfill my customers' needs, customers' requirements in time with very good due date performance. The first rule was improve flow. Flow like river, like water flows through the river, uninterrupted. Minimize time, let material flow through the system as fast as possible, as quickly as possible. Important thing is flow. Important thing is no disruption. Important thing is no interruption anywhere with minimum WIP. Improve flow. Next rule is prevent overproduction. Overproduction means make more production, but it is not getting sold. It is lying in the stores. It is lying in the finished goods inventory. It doesn't need, but nobody needs that production. That is called as overproduction. Overproduction may be effect of pulling some orders forward or producing something for which there is no market demand. Just to achieve efficiency of some machine, we just keep on producing for which there is no demand. No, that is a complete loss. overproduction is a loss, overproduction is a liability. Prevent overproduction. When we improve the flow, we must take care that overproduction is not there. We must produce everything for which there is market demand. Third rule, abolish local efficiency. What is local efficiency? Machine number 1, machine number 2, machine number 3 and so on. We make very high efficiency on every machine. For that we pay incentive to the people. We take pride to say that machine number 1 was working with 150% efficiency. Local efficiency. What is the result? Result is high inventory. We were giving importance to the local efficiencies and we were getting high inventories. Now, our rule today is abolish local efficiency. Measuring local efficiencies and holding people responsible for them causes them to produce something that is not needed. People are producing, which lies in the inventory. It is not needed by market. We have to abolish local efficiencies. Fourth rule, having a way to systematically identify blockages. Now, if we want a flow, we have to prevent blockages. We have to identify the blockages. Where is the blockage? And remove them. Because once you remove the blockage, flow will come. So, remove the blockage as a process of ongoing improvement. Poogie. Process of ongoing improvement. So, we have to introduce process of ongoing improvement in order to find out, in order to identify the blockages and remove them as a process of ongoing improvement. And now I will explain to you what are the different types of plant. First is V type plants, next is A type plants, next is T type plants and next is I type plant. Now, I will not stop here, I will give you the actual details about every type of plant. V type of plant. This looks like this. V type of plant. There is raw material at the bottom and it goes up like V. V type plant. At the bottom, there is one point of raw material through D1. D3, these are the departments, the material flows to D4, D5, D6, D7, D8, from where the material flows to D9, D10 and ultimately so many products are produced, P1, P2, Q1, Q2, Q3, R1, R2, R3, all the products are produced by one type of raw material. This type of plant is called as V type plant, it looks like V. So, it is called as V-type plant. I will go back to my slides. Few materials generate a variety of product. What is V-type plant? Few material. For example, I shown there, only one type of raw material has produced so many products. Few materials generate a variety of products. There are several divergent points where the material flows into various streams, various processes that produces different end products. I said D9, D10 like that. That means few materials produce different end products. Once the path is chosen, it becomes very difficult to change it. The constraint in V-type plant is at the bottom and maybe with very long running setup. Constraint. We must know where the constraint is. In V-type plants, the constraint is at the bottom. Availability of raw material. It makes sense to produce most common parts to stock and end products to order. such plants are exposed to stealing. Material will be stolen from one line to another, one department to another, which occurs when work that was supposed to go on a certain path is snatched to another path. Stealing may cause a huge variability in lead time, poor due date performance, high inventory, all these undesirable effects in V-type plant. There will be stealing of material, snatching of material from one line to another line, from one department to another department because of shortage, and ultimately undesirable effects will come, such as poor due date performance, high lead time, high inventories, which we don't want. So I explained to you what is this V type of plant looks like. This V type of plant, in the first slide what we have said, that V type of plant, typical characteristics of a V type plant is few materials generate variety of end products, V type plant. What is the next? A type plant, exactly opposite. A type plant, it looks like this. A, it's ulta V. A, FG, finished goods at the top, so many raw materials at the bottom, exactly opposite case of V. RM, 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 so many raw materials converging to only one finished goods through various operations. This is A type plant. Here so many raw materials are there and only one type of finished goods. I will go back to my slides. A type plant, typical characteristics of A type plant is many raw materials are processed and assembled into relatively fewer end products. Synchronization and availability of materials are various problems for A-type plants. Local efficiency stand in the way of achieving synchronization. Local efficiency, that means efficiency of an individual operation. If too many local efficiencies are there, too much inventory will be there, and that is standing in the way of achieving synchronization. UDE, undesirable effects, are very high inventories, long lead times, missing due dates, high level of expediting, high level of chasing, high level of manager's time there. This type of plants are found in industries like electronics, furniture and helicopters. Merging orders to one batch cause huge delays, and thus pressure to build, pressure to split the orders is very high. These are the problems in A-type plants. What are A-type plants? Like electronics, furniture, so many raw materials converge into one finished good, helicopters. What I have said in the first is A-type plants, a typical characteristics of A-type plant is many raw materials are processed and assembled into relatively fewer end products. I have said that in the first slide, and then in the next slides I have explained this, which looks like this. A type plant looks like, then I will go to my first slide again, and that is T type plants. What is T type plant? A typical characteristics of T type plant is huge variety created by various combinations of components. I will go to the T type. T-type plant looks like this T. One raw material, operation number 2, operation number 3, operation number 4, and then finished goods, so many finished goods are made by only one line, raw material. Then one operation, second operation, third operation, so many finished goods. T-type plant. A typical characteristic of T-type plant is huge variety created by various combinations of components. Then I-type plant, it is a process transfer or assembly line where all the different functions are tied together. I will go to the I-type plant. In this plant, the process transfer or assembly line where all the different functions are tied together. Stealing is not a problem and constraint can be easily determined. Main problem of I-type plant is sensitivity to disturbances. The synchronization must be very high in order to avoid the disturbances. I-type plants, raw material 1, raw material 2, raw material 3, raw material 4. And it is like this, I. Raw material 1, D3, D6, D8, product A. Raw material 2, D3, D6, D8, product B. Raw material 3, D3, D6, D8, these are departments, product C. And raw material 4, D3, D6, D8, product D. Raw material 1 makes product A. Raw material 2 makes product B. Raw material 3 makes product C. Raw material 4 makes product D. I-type plant. Even small disturbances can cause starvation for work downstream and blockage upstream. The typical industries that I have I-type plant are bottling of beer, wines, etc. Common undesirable effects. In TOC, we always first of all look after and find out what are the common undesirable effects, UDEs. The common UDEs are result of variability in processes. Skill levels of different people, unpredictability of vendor performance. If they are unreliable, then we had it. Common UDEs are poor due date performance. What is our first and foremost thing in the business is we must have a very good due date performance. Our throughput dollar days must be as low as possible. Very good due date performance is required, whereas in this we have the UDE as poor due date performance, which is very undesirable effect. Then next, long lead times. Customer wants the product in 3 months and we are not able to give it in 3 months, we are able to give it only in 6 months. CTT, customer tolerance time is 3 months and our lead time is 6 months, which is not acceptable. So this is an undesirable effect. Next undesirable effect is too high inventories. We cannot accept too high inventories because it is the money locked up in the business. Long payback periods. For a machine, payback period is very high, so money is getting blocked there in the investment. Too many customer complaints, we have discussed this earlier. Too many warranty returns are undesirable effects. And last but not least, bad human relationships. And we must take care of all these UDEs, poor due date performance, long lead times, too high inventories, long payback periods, too many customer complaints, very bad human relationships are the UDEs which we must remove. Major causes of common undesirable effects. Once we know what are the undesirable effects, we should know the major cause also. The conventional approach says that there is lot of variability in our processes. Our processes are having lot of variability. The skill levels of different people are different. Vendor performance is awfully unpredictable. They are very unreliable. People are different, their skill levels are different, processes are variable. This is the fact. The TOC approach suggests that the real cause is the mode of managing operations. How we manage, that is the real cause. We need to look at cause and effect relationship among the UDEs to find out whether they arise from one core problem. Local efficiency is used as prime measurement by many industries. Even now, local efficiency, efficiency of every operation, whether constraint, non-constraint, we are not worried. We always measure the performance by local efficiency. Departments try to maximize their performance as measured by turns per hour. Everyone wants to make more turns per hour. Every department tries to maximize their performance as measured by turns per hour, and all this is going very wrong. The conventional approaches are wrong. Again, I will read this. The conventional approach says that there is a lot of variability in our processes, skill levels are different, different people are different, vendor performance is awfully unpredictable. TOC approach suggests that the real cause is mode of managing operations, little different. We need to look at cause and effect relationship among the UDEs to find out whether they arise from one core problem. We must know that one core problem. Local efficiency is still used as prime measurement by many industries, and departments try to maximize their performance as measured by turns per hour. Capacity management in TOC. At times, there will be some level of protective capacity. Protective capacity, more capacity than the customer requirement. The logic dictates that in order to ensure that the capacity of constraint is not wasted, in the line, there will be one constraint. At any cost, the capacity of constraint should not be wasted. So, the logic dictates that in order to ensure that the capacity of the constraint is not wasted, the other non-constrained resources must have sprint capacity to catch up delays when needed. A capacity constrained resource standing idle is usually a waste. What is waste? A non-constrained machine standing idle is not waste. Constrained machine, a capacity constrained resource standing idle is usually a waste. Understand this very clearly. And non-constrained resource standing idle is usually a necessity, because if it keeps on producing and producing and producing, it will result into high inventory, non-constraint machine. So, non-constraint machine standing idle is maybe necessity, whereas capacity constrained machine, capacity constrained resource standing idle is usually a waste. This is capacity management TOC. Resources standing idle are not necessarily a waste. Sometimes resources not standing idle are the major cause of waste. If one wishes to avoid waste, we should stop resources from overproducing. TOC again and again tells us, don't overproduce. Produce just required by the customer, required by the market. If one wishes to avoid waste, we should stop resources from overproducing when the bank of work is full. What is bank? Just required material for constraint machine. That is the bank. When constraint is outside the operations, no resource can be utilized to 100%. For example, if constraint is the market, there is no market demand, then no resource can be utilized to 100%. They will be idling only when the constraint is outside the operations. For example, there is a shortage of oil. constraint is outside the operations. We cannot utilize our resources to the full. When the constraint is in operations, utilization of the bottleneck dictates the throughput of the system. Last chapters also we have discussed the same thing. We want more and more throughput. We want 30,000 parts per day because that is the customer's requirement. And this throughput is limited because of one machine, which is a constraint. So, when the constraint is in operations, utilization of the bottleneck, utilization of the constraint dictates the throughput of the system. For example, if the capacity is only 25,000 of the constraint machine, it is just not possible to make 30,000. And then we have to find out how we can make 30,000 by exploiting the constraint, by supporting the constraint, by outsourcing the material from the constraint, and so on. We have discussed earlier. So, here what is required is paradigm shift. Thinking must change. Non-bottleneck resources should not be judged according to their own efficiencies. This mistake we have been doing for years. For every machine we calculate local efficiency, and if efficiency is low, if the machine is standing idle, we shout there. We create big problem because the resource is standing idle. We calculate their local efficiencies, and if the efficiencies are high, we pay incentive. If the efficiencies are low, we punish them. It is not necessary for the non-bottleneck machines. Local efficiencies are not important. Very, very clearly to be understood. Non-bottleneck resources should not be judged by their own efficiencies. Common procedures are likely to jeopardize the exploitation of the constraint. We need to change the procedures. We need to change the policies. Such policies, such procedures, which are not giving proper material to the constraint, jeopardizing the exploitation of the constraint, such procedures, then the procedures may be in purchase, the procedures may be in your operations itself. Change the procedures, change the policy, and just focus your attention on the constraint, how we can utilize the constraint to the full, how we can exploit the constraint. Work should be offloaded from the constraint. Usually cost considerations are negligible relative to gain in the throughput. Yesterday we have seen that even if I have to pay more for the supplier for outsourcing, I can still afford it if the constraint is getting broken. We have seen it. If the constraint is getting broken, doesn't matter if I have to pay a little more to the subcontractor. Cost consideration is not important there. Return on investment should be calculated considering change in throughput. That also we have seen. Return on investment should be calculated on the basis of throughput and not on the basis of how much cost I am saving. Throughput is important and not by cost concept. There is no point in making more investment and reducing setup time in a non-constraint. People have been taking pride in reducing the setup time on non-bottleneck machines. People have been taking pride in investing more in non-constraint machines. There is no point in making extra investment. For example, we have seen earlier return on investment calculated on the basis of how much money is invested and how much it is utilized. And then we were saying that, okay, the return on investment is 4 years, and so we don't want to invest. Calculate the throughput. If the constraint machine is getting, constraint is getting broken, then we have to invest in such constraint machine. The work ethics. Current ethics at work forces people to look busy. They are not busy, but they show that they are busy. Because if they are idling, people will say, you are not working. You are lazy. So what is the work ethics of today? Current ethics at work forces people to look busy. EOC says, resources need to follow the roadrunner rule. What is roadrunner rule? In the relay race, when one has work as fast as one can. For example, that man gives you and hands over that thing to you, run as fast as you can. Till that time, wait for work, don't do any work. That means I am standing idle, waiting for that man to come to me. Without doing any work, I stand idle. So hear what they say, follow that roadrunner rule. When one has work as fast as you can. For that you don't bother about any due date or any time. Work as fast as you can, otherwise wait for work, don't do any work. The TOC work ethic resolves the problem faced by downstream resources. And now, very, very important thing I am coming to, that is DBR, drum, buffer, rope. Very, very different words. You may have heard up till now or may not have heard, but I will introduce these words to you. Drum, buffer, rope. The DBR system is designed to regulate the flow of WFE through a production line at or near the full capacity of the constraint. The theory of constraint always talks about the constraint utilization. Full capacity of the constraint in the manufacturing chain. Everyone has to subordinate to this particular point. Drum buffer rope system is designed to regulate the flow of WIP through a production line, flow important, flow through a production line at or near the full capacity of the constraint. And in that, the first word is drum. What is drum? Drum is the constraint or schedule of the constraint of the production system. Why it is called drum? The more fast that drum is beaten, then all the organization has to work to see that that constraint is busy, and so faster the drum is beaten, faster the amount of work by other organization people. That's why this beautiful name of drum is given. Drum is nothing but the constraint. Drum is nothing but the schedule of the production of the constraint. That means various parts are processed on the constraint, and so the schedule of that production is called as drum. And why it is called drum? Because the sound of the drum beating will really make the whole organization work for that constraint. So it is called as drum. What should dictate what one should work for? Drum, what the market wants. Priority is utilize the constraint for what product market wants and not for WIP, not for inventory. Every single minute of the constraint should be utilized for what the market wants, what the organization is able to deliver. Drum. The drum is the key for synchronization of work of all other resources. All other resources have to work to synchronize the work on the drum. Following are the considerations for sequencing the work at the constraint. There is a machine in the whole production line, one machine which is a constraint, one machine which is having the limited capacity. And now we have to utilize that to the full. We have seen earlier the product mix, how to do the product mix so that constraint is utilized to the extent of full. which order is more important? Which order is more important? Schedule that on constraint. Which product requires more lead time from constraint till shipping? That means there is a machine constraint, and from that, how much time is required till shipping? Because shipping also is extremely important. Which product requires more lead time from constraint till shipping? So that product should be given priority. Then what inventory is already in front of constraint? For example, there is a machine, constraint machine, and 1500 parts are already there and other parts are not there. Then schedule that production on the constraint machine. Next, setup required by the constraint. How much setup is required for that particular product? We must have lowest setup time, because we have to utilize the constraint not for indirect operations like setup time. We have to utilize the constraint for direct operations like production. So these are the considerations: which order is more important, which product requires more lead time from constraint until shipping, what inventory is already in the front of constraint, and setup required by the constraint. These considerations should be given, and then the constraint should be scheduled